Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's up, what's up, what's up? It's your boy Kingpin, Big Drake, Maybenny Radio Show. Big Drake, what's up with your boy?
Chilling, chilling, Kingpin. A lovely day in the plains, and I'm happy to be talking to my family.
Yes, sir, boy. You know, it's funny. My wife comes in after, you know, games or whatever. She be like, so Auburn won? You know, except for last year. Last year, I had just resigned our fate. And so I did not get angry after the games. It's like, yeah, no, this, no. Did Auburn, she come in, so did Auburn win? No. You, and then she had this puzzled look on her. I'm like, no, I didn't expect us to. So I'm good. So, but right now, man, the boys are looking good. It's a beautiful day, as you said. The temperature was great. I don't know about y'all, but man, we had that nice, like, 81, 82 ish today. A little overcast. Oh, man, it was a gorgeous day today, man.
Dude, it's just so nice here. I cut my AC off on Wednesday.
And just let the breeze come in.
Let that cool breeze run through this house.
It has, man. It's been an absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous time, man. Looked like it wanted to rain just a little bit today, but it still held off. I hadn't seen it. Me and the fam went out to eat this afternoon.
Okay.
Me and the we had a great men's conference at our church this weekend. Talked about some really powerful stuff. Friday night we talked about marriage. Saturday we talked about forgiveness. Then we talked about men's health, which was a great conversation, a great discussion about men's health and getting tested for getting our exams, our regular exams. And then we also talked about unity. And then we capped it off today. And your boy your boy had to bring the word today, man. So
okay.
Had a great day. Today again, men's choir was banging. My men wanted to all look the same, and they was talking about getting some. And so your boy stepped up, man, ordered all the men these some bow ties. So we was all decked out in the red bow ties. About 40 deep, bro, up in church with red bow ties, boy. Looking good, looking like a noop line. We was in there looking like a noop line, baby. But man, they sounded great, and God just showed up, man. He was awesome, man. So had a great Sunday, great weekend, man. It was just absolutely awesome. Brought the word today, man, and preached out a familiar passage of scripture talking about the prodigal son. And how he went back home, and we preached today from the subject I'm back. So we talked about men coming back and taking their rightful place, and coming back to serve their home, serve their wives, serve their children, because that's what God called us to be, with servants, man. So great time, man. So how was your weekend? How was your week, Big Drake?
It was good. At work, my week's always going to be wrong. That's just what it is.
That's the nature of your business.
Yeah, that's whatever. But my wife and I went to the game. Love going to the game. Everybody knows. All my listeners by now know I got season tickets, and I'm very proud of it.
Yeah, you're a season ticket holder.
There's only one downside about it, because the games are long. You know, it's kind of an all-day affair going to the game.
Right.
I just miss out on the other game. As far as watching them.
Yeah.
So, as far as football watching, unless Auburn plays away, I really only get to see the Auburn game and maybe one other game. And that's pretty much it.
And that's usually the late game.
Yesterday was the first time that Auburn had a day game. All the other games have been at night.
I know.
So, I would watch the 11 o'clock game. Then, really, before the 11 o'clock game is over, it's time to start heading over there, because we have a few tailgates that we have to just, you know, show our faces to.
Right.
Hang out at them, then you go to the game, and even though the game has kicked off, you know, 6 o'clock, 6:30, with traffic and everything, we don't get home till midnight.
Wow, yeah, oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's an all-day thing, so really we get to watch one game, and that's the Auburn game. But, hey, I'm not complaining.
Hey,
I love it.
That's the cons of being a season ticket holder. There's a whole lot of pros with it, though.
So, I mean, we went to the game. We had a fabulous time. The weather's been lovely. Last night, went to dinner with one of my ex-teammates, Wayne Dickens. He played D-tackle. I think he played 1 or 2 years for the Titans.
Okay.
And he also, his wife and him, bought a house in my neighborhood. So they're going to be my neighbors here.
Wow. Awesome, man. So has he been in the Auburn area? Did he just move back to the Auburn area? How did that work out?
He's been here for a couple of years. He is Chet Williams for all Auburn fans. You know, Chet Williams is the director of FCA for all athletic sports at Auburn University, you know, primarily football. But he is under Chet, and he is the director of all the high school football team.
Okay.
So it's through Auburn University, because that's where he technically works for, but he is the director of all the high schools.
So
he's been here a couple of years.
So he does, like, the Christian Foundation, Christian Fellowship of Christian Athletes? Okay. Cool, man. Cool. That sounds like a gravy position. Find out what that pay and if he's trying to move up. So your boy can look at that.
I'm about to put his business out. I probably shouldn't, but I am.
Okay. Yes. Hopefully, don't nobody that it affected anybody or listen to us.
No, I mean, I'm thinking it pays pretty handsomely.
Uh huh.
Because one of the houses that he's about to buy is like a $400,000 house.
Oh, wow.
So I'm thinking he's doing pretty okay for himself.
What does his wife do?
She also works for FCA.
Oh, wow. okay. Well, if either of them open up a position, then
I know, right?
Tell him you got a boy that would definitely be interested in doing something like that, especially if it pay handsomely enough to get a $400,000 house. I wouldn't get that house. I'm hold on to something, my cheese. But man, that's awesome, man. So he'll be able to be a little closer to him and his wife having the kids.
Yes, they have a little girl now. She's 2, and they're expecting in November. I'm gonna say.
Oh man, he's gonna get that two household going on.
Yeah, and that's why they needed a bigger house, because they plan on having more kids.
Oh, okay, so, they're going to fill it up.
Yeah, and I mean, the house they bought, it's 3 stories. You got the basement, you got the main level, and then you have an upstairs.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
It's a nice house.
Oh,
I
mean,
it's, it's a model home here.
Oh, wow. Oh, boy. Yeah. So I hope he deck out the bottom with a man cave of some sort.
Well, they actually don't close until, I think, the 15th or something like that in November.
Okay.
So they hadn't physically moved in yet, but they're, you know, of course, they're about to.
Yeah.
And, you know, he wanted a bigger place for the fellowship so he can have his FCA meeting sometimes in the basement of the home and so on.
Okay.
Yeah. Real cool cat.
Man.
Real cool cat.
Well, big shout outs to you, Wayne, for doing big things, man. Love to see brothers doing big things and continue to further themselves, man. So that's exciting times, man. So you didn't get to see a lot of the games, but you got a chance to look at some stats. I'm sure, knowing you and Boogs, y'all was up this morning watching some Sports Center, or last night watched some Sports Center. Lot of big games. Off top, I gotta say, man, what you think about Oregon and how they handled Washington pretty handedly?
Well, I will say this: I got a chance to watch some of that game, and after dinner, I toddled at the humidor, and man, me and the humidor was out on his deck doing what we do till about 2 in the morning.
And now, both of y'all take off work Thursday. I'm in there Wednesday.
Yeah, he said he can't wait for you to come on down.
That's what I'm going to say. Y'all going to take off Thursday.
it's going to be a nice day. I was very, even though I watched the Stanford game, I was still, I don't know if shocked is the correct word, but I was impressed with how physical Washington was.
Okay.
I didn't realize they were as physical as they were. In the running game that Bishop Shankey That dude's something special at the running back for Washington.
Oh, yeah, he'll hit you in your mouth.
That dude is good.
Yeah.
But overall, even though Washington went back and forth with Stanford, and then, you know, I know we're going to talk about, we saw what happened to Stanford yesterday, which was shocking to me. And then you see Oregon, you know, it was a punch here, a punch there, and it was like,
jab, quadruple uppercut.
Yeah, so I'm still standing by. I still think Oregon is going to be the team to beat. They're still going to be my national championship pick. Now, their D-line was a little softer than what I expected them to be once they played against some a physical caliber guys. Because I know, more than likely, and if you're hating on the SEC, you're just hating. More than likely, an SEC team will make it to the championship.
Yeah.
More than likely. Not promising nothing, but more than likely.
If we don't, ain't nobody's a true champion, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So Oregon, because that's my pick, Oregon is going to be facing an SEC caliber type line. And I think that's going to give them some difficulties. But I'm thinking they'll be able to squeak out one or two, more than yet, they'll be able to squeak out some drives where the opponent is only getting field goals or not scoring at all, and on the flip side, they'll keep scoring. So
they'll throw the playing field. And again, you know, but how many dominant? Because we've continued to say all season that's Alabama's one weakness is the offensive line. But and I guess it's tough for me to say, well, how many dominant offensive lines do you really see when in the SEC you are seeing such dominant run games? You can't really have a dominant run game unless you have a dominant offensive line. So, yeah. But I'm with you. We are still very physical. Even Bama, their offensive line may not be in the best position all the time or creating with the best blocking schemes to get their running backs and stuff open like they should be getting them open. But they still, nonetheless, are still physical. When you got them Quanjo boys on one side of the line averaging about 315, 320, 330, and being able to move like they move, that creates a dominating presence. And if depending upon what size the weight is on the other side, I could easily put you or move you into positions I need you to be.
for real.
And so I'm with you. I think that may be Oregon's only challenge. But nonetheless, that offense is still just – I mean, they're just – Oregon, I mean, they're just a thing of beauty, man. So now what you think about the uniform Saturday? Because you can't talk about Oregon without talking about the uniforms.
I've always liked the changing of the colors on the numbers.
I got you.
I've always thought, because I know they technically bought that out a couple of years ago, but once I saw it a couple of years ago, I've always thought that that was just unique and pretty doggone awesome. I am not a fan of the chrome helmets. I am a fan of, I know a lot of people don't like this, so my wife hates it, because I always talk about, anybody that really knows me, I love Jeep Grand Cherokees.
Yeah.
And I want the SRT8.
Yep. That's the big boy.
Super fast. So, yeah, I want that. I want it. And I've always said, if I got one, I'm going to paint that thing flat black.
Matte black, flat black.
Yeah.
I was going to say that.
I'm a fan of that matted flat look. So, I can't remember. I think Stanford, when they played Washington the week before, I think their helmets was the flat black. I am just a fan, and I've seen Mississippi State come out with the flat maroon. It looked pretty good. I've seen one school come out with like a flat blue helmet. I am a huge fan of the flat matted look.
I'm sorry, I like that chrome. But mm-hmm. Now listen, I like the matte black when they have the chrome wings on it.
Okay.
They have a matte black that have like a chrome wing, or it's a black chrome wing or something like that. So I like that look as well. But I just love seeing those streaks of shiny stuff just go across the field, going every which way. You just don't know what's going on with his Oregon players. those streaks of chrome coming across. And you know me, I've always liked chrome rims. So, you know, it's kind of like some rims. Kind of like they got rims on. They got thaddies on this on the helmets. Got the bling on there, man. So,
yeah.
So, dog, we had a lot of other good games. Louisville and Rutgers, man. Now, you continue to talk about who is it that lost to Rutgers?
Arkansas.
You won't let Arkansas live that down, no matter how good they are, no matter how good they play other teams. But you always say they lost to Rutgers. Well, Rutgers still was 4-2, and Louisville didn't. Big Drake, I think I'm to the point. If Louisville goes undefeated, and there is a one loss SEC team, Big Drake, I'm gonna go on a limb. If there's a two-loss SEC team, I don't know that Louisville is a better team than a two-loss SEC team.
Wow.
I really do not. I've been unimpressed with their run game. They have a couple backs that can get some yards here and there. I don't even know if they had over 100 yards rushing. Yeah, the Perry had 104. I really expected Michael Dyer to go there and – take that offense, you know what I'm saying? Take the starting job. He ain't done that. I hadn't really been impressed. I mean, I'm sorry. They don't play competition. Mm-hmm. And when they do, they're marginal at best. They're not a dominating team. So
I will concur with everything you're saying. I agree with.
I'm not going to be mad if at the end there's this big old controversy. Because Louisville is left out of the championship game, because they have not shown me yet anywhere where they deserve to be in the talks with some of the best teams in the country.
And that was one of the I only saw. Okay, of course I saw the Auburn game, and when I went to the Humidor's house, we sat because he and this is how serious the Humidor is. And big shout out to the Humidor, Jeffrey Wright, who was on the show last week. He has the genie with the DirecTV or whatever that gimmick is. That's not a gimmick.
Hopper.
Well, the dish has the hopper. Yeah. He has the genie because he has DirecTV.
Okay, I know. Well, what are you talking about?
He literally will record like five games that come on at 11, and once those in, he'll record the next five that come on at 2:30, and then he'll record the late one, and then, of course, by the time I get to his house, because it's Pacific, is that right? Pacific Mountain? No, Pacific Standard Time.
Yeah.
We'll watch a team like Washington or Oregon or Stanford or USC because they're on the West Coast. So we'll just sit down and watch that game instead of him recording it.
Okay.
So, and he has said, so be prepared when we get out on that deck. He has about 10 games recorded for us to watch. Probably we're not going to watch 10 games.
Oh, that's cool. So all we got to do is pick which game that we didn't see Saturday that we want to see.
Correct.
Oh, I'm in it.
Yeah. So I didn't see any games. I didn't see Teddy Bridgewater. How did he look as far as going against the subpar competition? Because the games that I have seen him play, he has had spurts. The dude's a good quarterback, but to say Louisville is supposed to be this powerhouse, and what conference they're in, the Big East now?
Yeah, I don't know what they are. Big East, big, I don't know.
So, you know, Louisville is supposed to be the Alabama of whatever conference they're in, but he has spurts of greatness, but it's just not a consistent wash of like, oh my God, this dude is one of the greatest players ever to strap on a uniform, especially when you're going against subpar talent. Now, you're in the SEC, you know, everybody want to talk about Johnny Manziel and A.J. McCarron, and week out, they're going against top caliber guys, even if, you know, you're going against Arkansas, who did lose to Rutgers, but we saw where Arkansas, what kind of fight Arkansas gave him. We saw what kind of fight Ole Miss gave him. And at the end of the day, we like, Johnny Manziel held his own. He played outstanding. He did what quote-unquote Johnny Football does with the missing and all the scrambling. But when I look at Teddy Bridgewater, I'm not getting that. I mean, and listeners, I know he's not that style of player where he's ripping and running and making people miss, but I'm not seeing the dominance come through like I thought I would.
And that's what I was going to say. I don't see him when, and even in this game, you never see some of the players, even if it's not a Johnny Manziel type player, but you just know from their demeanor, how they take the field, this game is never in doubt. I never see that with Louisville. Yeah. I never see when he takes the field, it's like, oh, man, I never flip, watch the game, and not have some nervousness about them fixing to get beat.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's it. It's like, every time it's like, is these boys finna beat these boys? So even, and I even give that to, and like I said, it ain't got to be a Johnny football, because I'll even give that to Aaron Murray, all right, except for Saturday. But last week, when they were driving against Tennessee, so my son's watching the game. I was doing something. I think I was barbecuing. So my son's watching the game. It's fourth quarter. You know, 2 minutes left, 3 minutes left. They driving, marching down the field. I come in. I look. I watch the TV. I watch two plays. And then I told my son, I said, it's going overtime. He's going to score. And he's like, how you know, blah, blah, blah. I said, I can see it in his eyes. I said, they're going to score. I said, no, I don't know what's going to happen in overtime, but he is going to get them in score. They're going to score and take it to overtime. And I'd be doggone, he drove the ball down the court, down the field. They scored, as I told you. You know what I'm saying? I knew he had it. It's like, I got it. I mean, it don't look good, but I got this. I never seen that with Teddy Bridgewater. I've never seen that with Teddy Bridgewater. I'm like you. I can watch highlights and say, oh, man, he has an awesome arm. Or, oh, man, that was a great pass. Oh, man, that was a great play fake. Man, he really handled that pressure well and stepped up into the pocket and delivered a good pass. But I've never said, oh, he got this. I ain't even worried about this game. And so that troubles me. You know, again, that's why I don't – Does a undefeated Louisville team stack up better than a two loss? Let's say Bama loses to LSU and then they lose
to Auburn.
Oh, you know, hey, y'all can laugh. I heard all the laughter. Keep laughing. It's all good. I heard y'all laughing. All the listeners, I heard you. Keep laughing though. But does a two loss Bama? Do you put Louisville in over a two loss Bama? And they go and win the SEC championship. Do you put Louisville in?
I'm saying that's
a tough call to me because they have not shown me. I think if Louisville played, I think Bama would beat Louisville, no question. Mm-hmm. I think LSU would beat Louisville, no question. Georgia has a lot of injuries. So I'm not going to – I think Georgia takes them to the fourth quarter. I don't know that Georgia beats them, but Georgia takes to the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. I think Texas A&M blows them out.
Because Texas A&M can't stop nobody.
I don't care. Texas A&M blows them out. Big Drake, because again, I haven't seen Bridgewater handle pressure, and I don't haven't seen how they respond if somebody keep punching you in the mouth with points.
Yeah,
I think Texas A&M would literally get to it and blow them out. I'm trying to see who in my top tier. Florida gives them a game. South Carolina gives them a game. Heck, Missouri gives them a game.
So
Louisville to me comes into the SEC. Louisville is fifth. Sixth at best in the SEC. Now, again, folks listening to ASEC, you may think, I mean, yeah, whatever, y'all biased. But if we're wrong, you call it, hit us up and tell us. Because if you've seen something different in the Louisville game, tape it, put it on this DVD, and send it to me. Because I ain't seen that part of the game yet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just being real honest, man. So, and I think that's going to have to be a part of the discussion at some point. because I think they're going to run the table. They should. They ain't playing nobody. They should beat all these middle schools they got left.
pretty much. That's pretty much who they're playing.
That's right. They got middle schools left on the schedule. So, all right. So, did Mac Brown see the writing on the wall? Did Mac Brown finally have a come to Jesus meeting after he seen Lane Kiffin get fired? Do you think what Mac Brown took his boys in the Red River Shootout and put that wood to Oklahoma?
Well, I'll tell you, man, something has changed, and it makes me think that maybe, just maybe, him firing Manny Diaz, the defensive coordinator at Texas, him firing him had something to do with the change a little bit.
And you wonder, did him firing them, was the defensive call play calling that bad, or did every other coach say, go home, and their wife said, I don't know what you're doing. No, and went home, and their wife said, why are you here? you should be back because you better not get fired tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? Like, did it light that fire up under these guys to saying, I could be next? I mean, you know, what are we seeing? Or even was it the players saying, oh, we got him fired. That's not cool. But it
could be that as well.
Because I firmly believe, well, no, I believe something different at USC. We're going to get to that. But I mean, like you said, something is different. I mean, this is a different Texas team than that took the field for 5 to 6 games at the early part of the season. I mean, they just took the wood to Oklahoma. Ended up 36-20. And like I said, they're doing it. They're running the football, which makes me wonder, is it I haven't seen defensive performances being that much better. So, you know, what is it? And was it really that fire sparked under the coaching staff and the players when Mac Brown came in and said, you're fired? somebody got to get fired today. You look like you scared. I don't need nobody scared on my squad.
<laughs> <laughs> You know, as he came in and said that, you know what my response would have been.
Would you fire your mama?
Would you fire your mama?
I had to catch myself this way, Big Drake, because I almost said that to my boss. And
come on now. You have to share that with us. Come on. You have to.
We're working on we have these assignments, these what they call technical evaluations, and so they have these due dates on them. And so we're sitting in the meeting, and I have several that aren't due for about 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. So they're not under pressure. And so he starts asking me, what's my game plan towards getting those? And he's going to tell me, you know, hey, we really need to hop on that earlier. You know, we need to really make sure we hop on that earlier. And the first thing in the back of my head, would you hop on your mama earlier?
Yeah.
If I say that, I'm gonna get fired today, so I'm not gonna say that. He wondered why I had a smirk on my face, and I was just like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna look at them this afternoon and go try to make a win. But in the back of my head, what I said was, would you hop on your mama earlier? So yeah, Big Drake finna get me fired.
Hey, even if, you know, listeners out there, even if you don't verbally say it to somebody, just think it in the head and tell me how good it's gonna make you feel.
It does give you sense of assurance that I bet he wouldn't tell his mama to do it earlier.
I bet he wouldn't tell his mama that. I bet he wouldn't try to do his mama like that. That ain't right.
Hey, I got a question. No, that probably won't say come out right. LSU and Florida. Hey, this was a tighter game than I expected to be, man. LSU, Florida was right there. Now, I didn't get to watch it. I didn't get to see the highlights. But did you get a chance to see any highlights from the LSU-Florida game?
I did not, man.
I was actually wondering, was it even televised? Because I'm like, had nobody's talked about this game? I ain't seen no highlights. Watching the Auburn game, I ain't watched the Auburn game. I was watching Oregon-Washington, And, watching the end of the Georgia-Missouri game. And they weren't showing any highlights because I think the games were on at the same time. So I was a little confused as to why I didn't see a lot about that as it was going on. But
I literally only saw one game this week, and I remember listening about how you going to do a radio show, young, saw one game. Well, I'm waiting on Wednesday so I can catch up with the humidor. But I know who won the games, but as far as seeing any action, even any highlights, I have no idea how the LSU and Florida game came out to look.
So we need to when we get up, we need to make sure to watch that one probably. Move that up on the list. But you know, Florida State right there, they score end up being 17-6. You really wonder. I'm waiting for somebody to really knock Florida out because I don't think they even, they even the right team. They shouldn't. I mean, I need their head coach to be fired. I don't think people are hearing.
Why don't you like Wildcat?
I do not like him. I don't know why. I don't know why. I really don't. But I don't like him. I don't think he should ever have been a head coach. He's just. I mean, even in the game now, it's just like. I don't know. I mean, and I think, I think this is what it is, Big Dre. I think we've talked about it before. When I've talked about, when you perform. What you're called to do, the passion and stuff that you'll exude would mean far more than the prestige of the position. And I think this is one of those. I understand that everybody wants to be a head coach, but Will Muschamp is a great defensive coordinator. I mean, he is a great defensive coordinator. And I just don't think, because I think even watch him as a head coach, he's so late. I mean, he's trying to hold it back. He's trying to pull it back in. When orchestrating or operating as a CEO of a team doesn't come natural for you, or you have to put so much effort to be there, is that really what you're called to do? Even though it's great, I know everybody wanna get to that level, but would it not be better if you're just really great and happy at what you're destined to be? I mean, what I'm saying? We're in such a world where everybody has to or wants to be in the top spot. But what if you're called to be a number two guy? I mean, people don't like to talk about that. But I'm sorry, everybody's not called to be the number one guy. Let me give y'all a quick Bible lesson on this. Even if you're familiar with the story about Joseph, and not Jesus' daddy Joseph, but Joseph in the Old Testament, where his brothers threw him in the pit and because he had the dream that one day his brothers would bow down to him. All right, so that dream happened, right? He had this dream that his brothers would one day bow down to him. Then he's the guy that got thrown in the pit, and then his brothers pulled him out and sold him into slavery. And they didn't like him anyway because his daddy, that was the daddy's favorite son. So they sold him into slavery. At the Potiphar's house working as a slave, Potiphar's wife wanted to get with him. So every stop, even the bad stops, God kind of always watched out for him, and he always blessed him. So even Potiphar's wife tried to get with it. He didn't want to hit it, and then she claimed he raped her. So he got thrown in prison, so all this. But you know the story. So God gave him this dream that his brothers would bow down to him. Drake, in the end, do you know that he was still only a number two guy? When he got to the dream that God had for him, it was a number two position. It wasn't the top position.
Yeah.
He was the assistant to the king.
Yeah.
And that was his destiny, was to be the number two guy. So, I mean, I guess sometimes, like I say, I understand everybody wants a shot at being number one. But you can't have a strong number one without a great number two. You got to have great number twos. And I don't know. I think Will is one of those people. I'm like, you're number two guy. you're a really good number two guy.
I like a little feistiness out of my head coach, but, I mean, I'm like, this dude is going to have a brain aneurysm and die on TV in front of all these fans. We're going to have some little kid screwed up because of
it. Dude, because he has blood vessels popping out of his head, and it's all because he can't scream and punch players. Because as a head coach, if you scream and punch a player, you get on Sports Center, and then you get fired.
And he is one of them dudes that I would believe he would probably punch his mom.
He would punch his mom. Yep.
Stuff on a play.
And so if you say, well, he can't scream and punch players, would you do that to your mama? Yes. If she messed up on a play, yes, I scream and punch in her mouth. Hey, Big Drake, man, we're going to come back with some more football. We're going to talk about, we're going to hit that, I want to hit that Baylor-Kansas State, because did you know Baylor came into the Kansas State game averaging nearly 70 points a game and over 700 yards of total offense?
I did not.
I seen that stat. I said, oh, my God. How can you have played five games and average close to 70 points a game and over 700 yards of total offense? But, hey, Kansas State, the same team that lost to South Dakota State, held them in check, man, and held them to half of that, held them to 35. And that's bad when you can say somebody holds you to 35 points.
Yeah, really.
That tells you a lot. So we're going to come back. We're going to talk about a couple more games, and then you know we got to talk about what everybody came to hear about. That's that Auburn football. We're going to talk about some Bama football, too. Some of y'all probably came to hear about that. But everybody else came to hear about Auburn football. So we're going to talk some Alabama and Kentucky game. I'm really partial to the Kentucky uniform, but I just think it's the Sigma in me. So, and we're going to talk about Auburn, who this week, today, yes, sir, we got in that top 25. It's a good place to be. And we're going to talk about a record for the SEC teams, man. I'm going to tell you what it is if you hadn't heard it already. Hey, you know what it is. It's your boy, Kingpin, Big Drake, Made Man Radio Show, baby. You know how we do. Tell somebody about the show. Tell them it's two crazy, well-rounded fools that go off every week on this show, man. Tune in. Tell them to listen to it. Email them, text them, Facebook them, Instagram them, Twitter them. Twitter them sounds like something perverted. It's not. Send them a tweet. Whatever you need to do. Tell them to check out your boy, man. Come on back, man. We're going to hit some more college football and talk about Alabama Auburn football, too. You know how we do. Kingpin, Big Drake, Made Man.
Can't see a thing, cause I'm focused on the Christ. You can try to kill me, but you can't hurt me. You can bring whoever you want. You'll never break me, won't penetrate. Once I get off in my zone, zone. I'm in my zone. I'm in my zone. I'm in my zone. I'm zoning out. I'ma live forever, regardless how my doctor feels. Call it Willow Smith, my father's will. I've seen the Lord, and say I'll never be. Some say they seen the Lord, but live on casually. I don't know what you saw, but the Lord ain't what you seen. What you really seen the Lord, you're obsessed with what you see. Obsessing, boy, that's it, right? Love him more than dead life. Wanna know how you can beat poor, let him give you new website. I promise, dog, I want him. Mind set on his glory. I visualize him crucified. Both hands wide, 345. Total vision, yeah, I'm focused on the light. He's with me. Can't see a thing, cause I'm focused on the Christ. You can try to kill me, but you can't hurt me. You can bring whoever you want. You'll never break me, won't penetrate. Once I get off in my zone, I'm in my zone. I'm in my zone. I'm in my zone.